It's all about you, Jesus.
One more time.
Say it's all about you.
Yes,
it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Now that's what our gathering is about. Just all about you. So I pray tonight, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let me not be seen or heard, but let the people hear you. Let them see you. Let them feel you. Let them experience you. Let them encounter you. Whether here, whether online, whether now, whether later. Let it all be about you and you alone. I pray that tonight I speak just as your mouthpiece. I minister according to the power that you supply. And all the praise we give to you and to you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to see everyone again. Welcome to Power Convention 2023, and I'm sure you will never ever be the same again. You will never be the same again. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I expect God's word to come powerfully over the next 4 days, granting us and resetting us for the year to come. I expect all kinds of breakthroughs, miracles to happen. You know, I was praying this morning, and as I prayed, at some point I began to feel not what I would feel normally on my right hand. I began to feel a different kind of sensation, and it struck me. And I stopped for a moment, and I thought, what's that? And God said, now that is a special anointing for creative miracles. And I believe God, you know, for creative miracles in numbers. You know what creative miracles are? It means where things did not exist, they are created. Where body parts have been missing, you've had whatever surgery, they took it out. They do x-ray, they do this, they find it again. Because a new one was created. Where one has been destroyed, even if it may be there. But what you need is not a healing. You need it to be recreated. You need a brand new one. It will be put there. A brand new one will be put there. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, it said, while Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon those that heard him. So I believe God for that. Whatever way he's going to move tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, but while the word of God is coming forth, the Holy Ghost will fall upon us. And things will happen. You know, some people will just check themselves 1 week later and say, I didn't know this happened to me. Some people will just realize something had been completely turned around. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Maybe you should stop playing. I'm a worshiper. When you do that, you tempt me. So just don't worry. When I need that, I will let you know. Thank you very much. Amen. Romans chapter 8. So tonight, I am a forerunner, and I'm going to be introducing, you know, life in the spirit, which is the theme. Tomorrow morning, which we have never had before, but tomorrow morning we'll have a special teaching session. Pastor Enwa will be teaching, and he'll be teaching also along the same theme. But I sense that he'll be speaking how life in the spirit is expressed, even in the workplace. Even in the marketplace. Hallelujah. And all of that. And tomorrow night, Pastor BJ will be speaking. And then after that, we'll have Reverend Okwindo, who's an executive leader with Rema Bible Training Center, Nigeria. We'll have Christmas party. Amen. So that they don't think I've canceled Christmas party. We'll have Christmas party. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Both young and old, say amen. Some of the old people are more excited than the young. But it's all right. Jesus said that except you become like a child, you will not enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. So it's okay to be like a child. Amen. So then we'll have that on Saturday morning, and we'll have Reverend Okwindo on Saturday evening and Sunday morning. Hallelujah. So I asked myself also, what's our objective in gathering for 4 days? What's our objective this time? And what do we hope to achieve? Is that at the end of 4 days, you see yourself differently. At the end of 4 days, you see that you are not a normal person, in quotes, whatever normal means. Amen. At the end of 4 days, you realize that I'm not just like everybody else on the road, except if they know the Lord. You know, at the end of 4 days, you realize that when somebody is in Christ, he's a completely different person. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Then he now said, what? Behold, some things are become. So he said, behold, all things are become new. So he's a completely different person. In fact, the best way perhaps to translate that is that if anybody be in Christ, is a new species of creatures. So it's a new species. We haven't seen the kind before. Hallelujah. And all things are passed away. And if you look at him very well, behold, that's what behold means. It means take a very good look at him. Everything has changed. So at the end of 4 days, I expect that you begin to see that. That everything has changed, not just for me. Not just for the ministers, but that everything has changed for you, and everything changed when you gave your life to Christ. Are you with me? Everything changed. So we'll look at two texts, and I'll try to be as brief as possible. Amen. They're laughing at me here. Romans chapter 8, let's read from verse 5. And I'll read a number of that. At the end of 4 days, the objective is that you realize that being a spirit being and a child of God is not faking. It's not, or living in the spirit or walking in the spirit is not faking. It's not something you try to put on. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's something that is normal with you. So in fact, what I tagged this is that the supernatural is natural. That's what I titled it in my notes, what I'm teaching tonight. The supernatural is natural. The continuation is that it's natural for the believer. The supernatural is natural for the believer. So I don't try to be supernatural. I don't try to walk in the supernatural. It is just a natural thing for me to walk in the supernatural. My life as a whole is supernatural. Everything about me has changed. Amen. And the only thing is that I need to be more conscious of that fact. Are you with me, anybody? Tonight I'm already telling stories. Before I want to show you these scriptures before I begin to say much, so that I don't get derailed. But even tonight, I had a fly in from Abuja. My plan was to come back from Abuja, fly to Lagos, take my car and drive down. If I have everything, I have my clothes, I have everything in the car, and I'll be packed near the airport. I thought I'll just fly in and then get the car and head to Ibadan. But yesterday, a very important appointment just came up for this morning. And I mean, all of a sudden ran into this personality who says, let's meet tomorrow morning at 9. So said to our delegation, let's meet tomorrow morning at 9. And I said, that's exact time for departure on the flight. I said, he said, I am more eager than you are to have this meeting. So I said, because I was calculating, and I knew that flights were difficult to change flights and all that. I said, get a later flight. I knew it was going to be very difficult, you know. So I said, okay. When he said, I'm more eager than you are, I said, yes, sir. See you at 9. Then I ran outside and went to see some of our staff, and I said, change the flight for me and, you know, my boss. I said, change our flights. And I knew they were going to struggle with it. So each time I kept going back there, half hour with it, then they gave me the rundown. You know, the flights were coming from 5:30, 8:30 p.m. I was thinking, when I land 8:30 p.m., what's that going to do? So as I was just thinking about that, it just struck me, okay. And I just said, find me a flight to Ibadan instead. And then they looked, said, I said, yes, get me a flight to Ibadan. You know, and then they checked that flight. You know, it's, what I'm saying is that it's just like when a thought just strikes you. And I just said, get me a flight to Ibadan. Check Ibadan. And they said, Ibadan. I said, yes, check Ibadan. They said, what about your car? I said, leave the car. Check Ibadan. You know, and when they checked Ibadan, they said, there's Ibadan, but there's one seat left. I said, get it now. They said, I said, look, we will analyze everything else after. Buy that one now. And then we'll sort out everything else. And that's how I could make it here. So what I'm saying, that ties into the life in the spirit, because I don't think that I was just thinking. I think that it's all wrapped together. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. My main emphasis is verse 9, where I ended. It says, but you are not. Can I hear you say, but I am not? He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Say, I am not in the flesh, but in the spirit. He says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. In case you think that excludes you. He said, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So basically he's saying, anybody who's born again. So he says to you that anyone who is born again, you are in the spirit. As I prayed about that, I had an illustration in my mind of a fish. When the fish is in the water, it's quite smooth, the way the fish moves. You know what I'm talking about. Have you ever fished before, anybody? Or you get it from the freezer in the supermarket? In the aquarium. Okay, yes, if you have seen an aquarium before, if you have been privileged to see one, then you see that the fish moves, it glides. It has a smooth movement as it moves. But if you pick the same fish and you bring it out of the water, what happens? It begins to wiggle very fast. It's struggling. And I began to have a sense that many of us act like fish out of water. We don't understand that our life is in the spirit. And when we do, we glide. When we do, we move smoothly. We don't struggle with issues. Even when we are faced with opposition and all of that, we are calm and people don't understand why. It's because we're gliding. We're in the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, but you are not, this is the biggest fact that I need you to know, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So I'm not trying, you know, when people start off and feel that it needs to be me what? Are you with me? The spirit needs to, how do you say, be me one now? Inhabit me, put me on. Well, you know, sometimes communication, language is the issue, you know. So sometimes I understand when some people are saying certain things, what they mean is not exactly the translation of what they said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm hoping that when you say that, if you are one of those that say that, you have a different interpretation in your mind from thinking that at that point in time, you will step into the spirit. What I'm saying is that whether you wake up and you are brushing your teeth, you are having your bath, all of that while you are in the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, for some time now, I like to take walks. And one of the things I've found out is that God talks to me when I'm walking a lot. I like the walks, not just because of the exercise. I like the exercise, but I found out also that it's a time of communion that God talks to me a lot. I would just have finished, most of the time, I would just have finished praying in my closet, you know, and then I get dressed and all of that and I go for a walk. But I found out that God goes on the walk with me. I found out that he begins to say things to me. So again, a lot of times now, I take my phone because I can type something or the other in it to save what he's telling me. Why? Because we live in the spirit. Are you hearing me? Galatians chapter 5. Or let me read this one in Romans chapter 8. Let's read it in a few translations. Let's read the NIV and the NLT, maybe. NIV and NLT. So, although I don't like people projecting stuff, but you can. It says, those who live according to the flesh, that's the NIV now, have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind, there are some truths there that I will conclude with, but I won't go to these ones yet. He said, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. That's what I want you to see. Are not in the realm of the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let somebody say, I'm not in the realm of the flesh. It means, you know, when you say that, it says, but you are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. What that means is that though I am walking, I'm walking, and you are seeing me like this, it's like I'm in a bubble. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like I'm wrapped in something. So though I'm moving around, I'm getting on the bus with everybody else who gets on the bus, but I am inside something else, that we are all now inside the bus. Are you following me? That's part of why Paul said, but though we are in the world, we are not of the world. He was saying there is an exception. You are there, but you are not there. There's a realm around you. There's a realm within which you are functioning that is different from the realm all around you. Are you still with me? Let's read very quickly the NLT. Let somebody say, I'm in the realm of the Spirit. Say it again. Say, I'm in the realm of the Spirit. Now, say it like you believe it. Say, I am in the realm of the Spirit. Say it like you believe. Say, I am in the realm of the Spirit. You know, another thing he said in the book of Acts, he said, the people are seeking for God. He said, though he's not far from us. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. There is no greater reality of that than for the believer. There's nobody who experiences that in reality like the believer, like the child of God does. But in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Are you getting what I'm saying? So NLT says, let me read from verse 5 again for completeness. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Holy Spirit. Please note that. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have a Spirit of God living in you. Are you there? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we'll just read one verse now. Verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, that instruction is what Romans 8, 5, 6 talks about particularly. I told you we'll come back to that, but not now. So Romans 8, 5, and 6 that we read, I went and I emphasized verse 9. Okay, I'm teaching tonight. I emphasized verse 9. But 5:6 says what this one says is tied to this, but we live in the Spirit. That's what Romans chapter 8 verse 9 has told us. And then we have an instruction. If we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. The Amplified expands that. You should have your whole action, thought, everything controlled by the Spirit. And Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 tells you how that works, how that happens. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and the intention, you know, some time ago, a few months ago, I had a colleague who was on holidays in the U.S. So, but again, we had a number of things happening, you know, a number of work things and all of that going on. So we had to speak. So she couldn't completely cut off and just be on holiday. We had to speak about certain things once, twice. And then this morning, I called her, or she called me, I don't remember. And when she did, I just greeted her and I said, "Hi, you are enjoying America, you are enjoying waffles. How are you enjoying your waffles?" The truth is that I don't like waffles, you know, which is their typical breakfast. I don't like it. But again, I just said, "How are you enjoying your waffles?" And she was taken aback. Said, "Ah, did I tell you about it?" But she thought to herself, "No, I couldn't have told you anything about it." She said, "Because I'm shocked that you just asked about waffles. Remember, we had spoken and never said anything about waffles." And then she said, "Because I'm with a friend. And late last night, she insisted that she made this special. She knew she usually makes these special waffles as a treat. And she insisted she will have to make it for me this morning. And it was very late in the night that we had to drive around town trying to buy the ingredients for her to make the waffles, which she did, and I ate." And then you call and you say, "How are the waffles?" Are you with me? I'm saying something. You see, when I tell the stories, it's not to make me or anyone look good. I'm telling the stories to drive home my point. That even while, I mean, it's almost like you're about to say, you know, so even while I'm joking, I'm conscious of the fact that I'm in the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can't tell you how many times that has happened with people that I would just ask them something. I'm greeting them, I'm just joking with them, and I ask them something, and they're like, "Ah, how did you know that?" Then I laugh. For me, it's spiritual. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can also tell you, and I know I've said that before, how many times that I sit down and I just think about somebody and my phone rings and it's that person. All of that happens in order to tell us that our lives as a whole is supernatural. All of that happens in order to tell us that we live in the Spirit. That's where we are. We don't step out of the Spirit to go to work. Are you getting what I'm saying? We don't step out of Spirit to go to class. That I prayed. I've done my Spirit Gongo activity. Now I step out into the natural. There is no such thing for the believer. You are in the Spirit. Are you hearing me? You know, again, over the weekend, I was coming back. I was out of the country. I was coming back. And then my flight got delayed. And, well, more or less canceled. So I couldn't get in on Saturday. Which I was supposed to get in on Saturday. I couldn't make it on Saturday. And they had to put us in a hotel. There had been another flight that was meant to connect there in Nairobi, and then we all come to Lagos. And that one was coming from the UK. So they had all this, a lot of people from the UK, including students. So when I arrived there, I met this young man, and he was a student from the UK, a Nigerian student. So he was the only one left, and he told me, "Oh, everybody else on their flight had been taken to the hotel, but he slept off at the airport while they were waiting to see what would happen to the flight." So we got talking, we got tied together, taken to the hotel together. And then, you know, so he asked me again, "Do I know whether the other people were brought here?" I said, "I have no clue." And then later in the night, I saw him with two people. So I said, "Oh, are those people from your flight?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Great, so you've seen some of your own folks, now you're fine." Now, the next morning, we're to be picked up at 5 a.m., and then he came to knock my door, and he said there's a bus coming at 4, that he would rather go with the earlier bus. So I said, "I too get dressed, I'll come." So I got dressed, and we went, and one of the two boys he was with came with him. And as we were checking in, you know, it was nice, well brought up boy. He would help me if I had to leave my bag a little, he would help me carry it and all that. And then I was thinking to myself, when I get in, I will go to a lounge, you know, to rest, because we'll have 2-3 hours before the flight. I said, "I'll just go to a lounge to rest." Then I thought, what do I do to these boys? You know, because if I take them, I'll pay. So I said, what will I do with these boys now? You know, and then it struck me, he said, "These boys are like your sons. you will hope that if your son was in such a situation, somebody will also bless him. You know, that take these boys with you. So I asked him and I said, would you like to come with me? He said, yes. I said, okay, let's go. So we went, we checked. I said, well, relax, dude, you know, eat, blah, blah, blah. And then we're talking. And I used that point also to say to myself, you need to impact this boy. So encourage them about their studies, encourage them about being close to God. So we talked a bit. And then the second boy who came with this one I had not met first, you know, then began to talk. You know, I was asking them, what are you studying? This. So they would tell me. So this one began to talk about himself a little bit. And at a point I said to him, sorry, what is your name? And then he said his name. I said, your father is, and I mentioned the father's name. He said, yes. I said, I know your father. But he said, I thought you would know my father. I said, I know your father very well. He was my senior in school. I've known him for decades. You know, and then it struck me that, oh my God. You know, how in the world, I've never seen the boy before. How in the world do you look at all of that and I end up with this boy? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm trying to say to you tonight? I'm trying to say to you tonight that the simple things and the complex things will happen, but it's all about life in the spirit. I'm trying to say to you tonight that don't complicate your life, don't think, and don't ignore the simple things and the simple leadings of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? Don't ignore them, because you will live in the spirit. There will be promptings that will be so simple, but yet it's the Holy Ghost that is directing your steps and telling you what to do, what to say, and what not to do and what not to say. Are you still there? You know, that was... So, those are simple things. There's a lady who spoke to me. I think that was last year. And she told me, I have this medical condition, and I'll have to have surgery. Blah, blah, blah. So we talked about it, you know, and what the arrangements were that she was making and all that. And then I never heard from her again for a long time. She just, for weeks, you know, she just never said anything to me anymore. And then this morning, I woke up, not this morning, but then, one morning, I woke up and I was praying. And she just came to mind. And I've said it before many times that when people come to mind, pray for them. Okay, and beyond praying for them, try to reach out to them if you can. Send them a text message. Give them a call. You know, just let them know, I'm praying for you. How are you doing? You know, it matters a lot. One lady said to me recently, going through a rough time in her marriage, and she then opened up to me about it. She said, you know what? Every single time I have a challenge in the marriage, you call. And you just call and say, hello, how are you? How are you? That's all. Hello, how are you? Are you okay? She said, so it got so worrisome that she was like, how does he know when to call? That she said to herself, this last time you called, I said, I'll have to tell him. Are you still there? So this morning I was praying, or that morning I was praying. And then I said, so after I had finished praying, my quiet time, read my Bible, started off the day, because, I mean, you know, I don't call people very early in the morning, not before 8 a.m. anyway, usually. And then I picked up my phone and I called her. And I said, hi, how are you? You know, you mentioned the surgery a while back. I said, what's going on? What has happened? And she said, right now, I'm on the hospital bed about to be wheeled into the surgical theater. When you called, she said, they're about to start the surgery. They're going to wheel me into the theater in a few minutes when your call came in. And I said, well, this is what happened to me. I said, and absolutely, now I am doubly certain that you'll be fine. I'm not praying any ecclesiastical prayer. I said, but God went ahead of you and everything will be so smooth. So she did tell me that later. She said, honestly, I was very scared about that surgery. Said, I just lost a friend to surgery very recently. So it was really scaring me. And that's why I even traveled abroad to have the surgery. He said, and that morning I was still in fear when you called. Said, but your call chased away that spirit of fear completely and settled it for me. The small things or the big things, you are in the spirit. Can I have an amen? Amen. You are in the spirit. Can I have another amen? You know, in Acts chapter 27, we can't read all of that. In Acts chapter 27, Paul was taken as a prisoner on a journey. They were on the ship. And as they went on the ship, or they were going to start the journey, Paul said to them, "Men and brethren, I perceive." Did you note that? He said, "I perceive that this journey will be very dangerous. Not just to the goods and the ship, but our lives." He said, I perceive. He didn't say, "The Holy Ghost told me." He didn't say, "The Lord revealed to me." He said, "I perceive." You know what I perceive means in modern lingo when you and I are speaking? I sense. So Paul went to the captain and said, "Okay, captain, I sense that this journey will be dangerous. The ship will kaput. Even our lives might kaput." Why am I saying that? The confidence with which he reacted to what he sensed is because he knew that he lived in the Spirit. Now, further down in the same chapter, when they did set out, the Bible says, the man that he told ignored him and said, "These sailors, this captain has been sailing for many years. He's very experienced. He doesn't think there's any storm or any problem on this journey." This Paul that is speaking, who is he? A prisoner. And he ignored him. But the Bible says, when they set out, a great storm arose named Euroclidon. That almost swallowed them up. And then everybody began to fast, you know. The fasting by force. You know, everybody began to fast. Everybody began to pray. And then after 3 days of being there, not knowing when you are going to capsize and be swallowed up, Paul got up again one morning and went to the man and said, "Look, everything will be fine." He said, "There appeared to me last night an angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve." What am I saying? Paul weighed the sensing with the appearance of the angel the same way. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't need the angel to tell him this journey would be dangerous for him to believe it. He sensed it and he immediately picked that up and said, "Hey, okay, this thing." And when the angel appeared, he reacted the same way. Went to the man and said, "Okay, it will be fine." Because an angel, but he didn't wait for an angel. He knew that his operations was beyond the spectacular. Are you getting what I'm saying? He knew that the supernatural is not the same as the spectacular. The spectacular is the yo-yo. You understand what I'm saying? The yo-yo kind of manifestation. But he realized that the simple things also are supernatural. Are you hearing me? He realized that the supernatural is natural for the believer. Now, let me say very quickly, why do we have problems with that? Why do we have problems with just flowing in the Spirit? And, of course, you realize now that my saying flowing in the Spirit is not necessarily the gift of the Spirit in manifestation in a meeting. It's not just that. I'm talking about your everyday life. You're knowing that, I need to go and see this person today. You're knowing that I need to call that person now. You're knowing, in fact, you know, what? As I walked with God, I realized that God will organize my day for me. Are you hearing me? I realized that when I'm praying and certain things begin to come to mind, it's not the devil. It's God telling me what to do that day. And when I say some things, I'm not talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about mundane things of life that he is coming to my mind and he's saying, "Send that email." I'm praying, "Shaka," and I'm sensing, "Send that email." So I've learned to open and take a piece of paper and put it there when I'm praying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because when those things are coming to me, they are instructions from God. The way I avoid them distracting me is I don't stay there and start thinking about the email or start trying to send the email right away, but I write down those things. Number one, send email to, and then I continue my prayer. And when I'm done that day and I'm about to start my regular day, I go to that piece of paper and I start from there. Because what I've realized is that God has gone ahead of me in that day and he has told me the things I need to attend to first. And compose really that day. Sometimes there are things that, they laugh at me in my office. They laugh that I always have paper on me. So when you look now, paper, see paper. So they always laugh. They say he always has paper. And he's always writing to do, to do,
to do. If I open my phone, I also have to do. It's all over everywhere. I'm writing it down. But each day again, as I start and he's laying something on my heart, I will take a paper and I write it down. Some of those things are already on the other paper with to do from yesterday or from whatever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then when I write it down that day, again, I know that God is saying, reorder your priorities. Start from there. That thing has been on your to-do list for 2 days this week, but he's telling me, do it today. Start from there. And many times when I don't do it, maybe somebody then comes and say, what about the email you are supposed to send? And I say, oh, God. And God gave me Orijo. God gave me Orijo. I would have sent this thing, and this guy would have been impressed. Now he has to call me to say, what about the email? And I'm thinking, like, oh, my God, I should just have done it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the life in the spirit we're talking about is your everyday life. How God walks with you. You know, when Jesus did say it, and he said that I will send you another comforter. That word, when he says I'll send another comforter, is the word what? Parakletos. I usually don't talk Greek and Hebrew. I study them as much as I can, but I don't talk it. Okay? Because we have not finished learning English and Yoruba. So when I add parakletos and all of that to it, people become confused. So I usually just avoid it. I just tell you what the original meaning of the word is. I just say the original Greek word means this. So that word, when he was speaking in John 16, and he was talking about himself, and he says that he will go away, he said, but I will send you another comforter who will be with you. Are you hearing me? That word that he called comforter, and it was referring about, I mean, to the Holy Ghost, he talked about in John 14, he talked about in John 16. That word means the one called alongside to help. Meaning that as I am going, he is going alongside to help. When he said in verse 13 of John 16, he said, when he is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. All truth. Everything. Without exception. He will guide you into all truth. And he will show you the things that are yet to come. All truth includes everything in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't even know how to cook, he will teach you. Huh? Yeah, he will teach you. He will tell you how much oil to put so that your concussion will be good. And it will not be called concussion, but native rice. Hallelujah. That's what native rice is, isn't it? It's concussion that we used to cook in school. That's why it has no standard. Any restaurant you enter, the native rice is different from the native rice next door. Because everybody's concussion was different. We all had different recipes. Hallelujah. It's whatever you had in the room that you pour there and you mix it and you maggi it and you jazz it up small. And then if you can find some fish, you throw it in. And then somebody woke up and said, this is native rice. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Okay, so why do we have problems with living like this? Number one, because we are joined to God so closely that it's almost inseparable. Very difficult to separate. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. So people struggle with this. People struggle with, is it me? Is it my mind? Is it the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying that everything is the Holy Spirit, okay? Are you following me, anybody? But I'm saying that so much more is the Holy Ghost walking in and through us than we have recognized because we live in the Spirit. There are so many things that are about the Holy Spirit that is talking to us, that is helping us, that is giving us thoughts and all of that. But we struggle with living that way and realizing that God is working with us so much. You know what he said when Paul wrote Timothy? He said, the Spirit speaks what? Expressly. Meaning he's talking. When John was going to write it, he said in 1 John chapter 2, he said, you have an unction, not you will have. He said, you have it. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all truth. You already have it, you know. So there's so much more we know that's coming from the Holy Ghost and all of that than we have recognized and accepted and appreciated. And very often, it's because it's very simple. Are you with me? About people who have asked me before and said, how do you flow in the gifts of the Spirit? This word of knowledge and all of that. And I said, there are many, the Bible talks about the gifts being many for the same Spirit. But not just the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said the operations also are diverse. So there are diverse operations. I can tell you, for instance, with the word of knowledge, that there are many, many things I just know. How do you know? I just know. It just occurred to me. This is it, and I say it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some that I know that I call out somebody with a pain. It's a different operation. There are times when people have pain, and I feel the pain they have. And I say to you, somebody with a pain in your big toe. Sometimes it's because I felt it, but not all the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the times I don't feel it are more than the times I feel it. Are you there? The simple manifestations of God in our lives are way much more than the spectacular manifestations. And that's why we tend to miss it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 6, have you found it? We'll look at verse 17. He said, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The Amplified says, becomes one spirit. Can I hear you say one spirit? He that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Meaning that you can't tell the difference. Are you still there? Now, it's so closely, or our spirits are so closely associated. Remember I said, this is why we have problems with life in the spirit. Okay? However, the way to see it is that this is why we have such free access in the spirit. And flowing with the Holy Ghost is so easy because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Many times in prayer, for many years, I would pray and I would just thank God about the scripture. And I would thank him. You know what I would say? I would say, Lord, I thank you because I'm joined to you as one spirit. And that means that I cannot miss your direction. That means that I get it right. That means I have accuracy in the spirit. That means I can't miss the road. Are you hear what I'm saying? Because if I'm one with you, I can't miss it. It means that every prompting of yours, I pick. Are you hearing me? You know, when you are close to somebody, you get to know them so much that if they call you, you pick the phone, you don't need to see the name. You know who is speaking. You know those who call you and say, hello? Ah, you say, Jide. Just hello. In the days of landline, you know, back in the days, if you are young, too young, there's something called landline. That was called landline. We didn't have these ones, we carried around. So you have a phone in a house, in an office, and we used to go and queue up at Nitel office to make international call. You go and line up because you want to call Obodo Ibo. You know, just one that you sit here and you just die. It didn't happen. So, but anyway, in those days, you know, we had a few incidents where somebody would call the house and we had to be trained in how to answer the phone. And say, you pick the phone, hello, you must say hello first. You know, so they know you picked it. Hello, good afternoon, sir. How may I help you? Sometimes if you want to do it more, you boyish, say, hello, good afternoon, sir. Udbanjo's residence. How may I help you? You know, and then the person will say, and then you had instances where somebody say, hey, how about your daddy, blah, 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 it's not at home, sir. Okay, blah, 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 tell him I called. I say, sir, who is speaking? Don't you know me? I don't know you, sir. I don't know you because we have no relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't even remember when last you came to our house. If you ever came, I didn't meet you. Why did you assume that I should know you? Is when I have a relationship and I'm close to you that you will expect and say, you don't know me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And for those who don't know, let me give you a quick audio. You know that's what the 419 guys play on. You call yourself, hello? Ah, Dr. Tubanjo.
I say, yes, yes. He said, ah, how are you now? I said, I'm fine. He said, why you sound like that? I said, sorry, who is speaking? Ah, you mean you don't know me? I said, sorry, I don't. Sorry, I don't. He said, are you not the one at Yaba, at the Academic of Science? I said, it's me. He said, you don't remember me? We met at... I said, no, I don't remember you. You know what he's playing at? When you pick up and say, is that Mr. Brown? He said, and you've been acting like you don't know me since. Because he knows now that you know one Mr. Brown. Then he will play Mr. Brown line all the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if I was in the car recently, and someone was driving, someone was beside me, and one of them was calling me. Hello? You give me a person, he said all of those things. I said, no. He said, I'm calling from the presidency. I said, okay. He said, they sent an email for you to bring your documents for an appointment. I said, oh. He said, and I just saw that you had not responded. So I said, let me just step out because other people have been responding. And I just said, let me just come and call you because my boss, I don't know, but I will give you his number. You call him. And I said, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I said, so we'll get your own name. Mr. Amos. I said, Mr. Ajide. He said, no, Amos. Mr. Ajide, Amos. Even the driver was helping me say, Amos. I said, shh, I know what I'm doing. I said, let him spend some money. Eh? Let him spend all his hair time. He wants to make free money. I mean, he will. So I said, no. So I'll pull him again. Then he said, oh, yeah, write down this number. I said, okay. What's the number? I said, 0803. I said, 0802. So I drag. So it's after that, the people in the car realized what I was doing. I said, let him waste money now. Let him waste money. I heard him very clearly, but I will drag it. Then he will go again. So then when he finished finally, calling the number, then I will start again. I say, 0802-324. He said, no. He's so... Are you there? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when you are that close, what happens is that you don't need too many words. You don't need too many demonstrations before you can pick the cues. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you're very close to somebody, like maybe your parent, and you are in a public gathering, all they need to do is look at you. There's a look that says, leave this place now. Yes, sir. There's a look that says, pick that plate. When you're also trying, you know, have you ever tried to take the visitor's refreshment? There's a look that says, in back by him. You know, when you see the look, you know, if they have to tell you, then you are finished. You know, you should have known that look. Once they don't look from the corner of the eye like that the visitor doesn't know that anything is happening, but there are, what do we call those waves? Is it radio waves or something coming from the eyes across that room, but the visitor doesn't know. But you realize what it means. You just move back. You move back. Then you move back because you know what they have told you. And you're even going back to go and pray that they will forget that is by the time that person leaves. Are you getting what I'm saying? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when the Lord has anything on his mind, I should pick it. Now, is that closeness that affected the translators in Galatians chapter 5? Are you hearing me? So they began to write. They began to write in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. They said what? Now the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and all of that. But then they wrote Spirit as a big S. The confusion was they didn't know because the fruits are born. Remember John chapter 5? That talks about you are, I'm the vine, you are the branches. It's the branches that bring the fruit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the fruits are fruits of my recreated human spirit. They are not fruits of the Holy Ghost. They are my recreated human spirit that bears fruits. But the translators had problem because the writers couldn't quite spell it out. They were just using new man. Nobody could really tell. Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the spirit of the man? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it is a good confusion. Are you with me? It's good confusion because in the light of 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am that close to him.
so close that it's difficult to differentiate us. Are you hearing me? So we have problems also because we find it difficult to differentiate. Theologians have had that problem for ages. Differentiating between the recreated human spirit and the spirit of God. Number two reason is because God injects, because of our closeness, injects his thoughts into my thoughts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Injects his thoughts into my thoughts. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Many years ago, I was teaching this. And some people ran away and said, they went to report. They say, it's heretic. I said, no, it's not heretic. It's scripture. So somebody, one of the elders called me and some of my friends. I said, I heard you were teaching heresy. So I said, who told you that? And then he said, well, this meeting you held, blah, blah, blah. So I said, sir, did they record? Did they, by any chance, give you anything, a recording or something to listen? He said, no. I said, so you didn't hear what I said? He said, no. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I said. So I began to run through the scriptures. So when I finished, he said, there's nothing wrong with what you said. And I said, that's my point. It's Bible. Are you hearing me? It's Bible. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. So remember, this is now this is from the Old Testament. This is a prophecy about these days. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. Okay, please note that. I'll put them in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, the way the Odubanjo translation of that is this. I will inscribe my laws in their spirit and inject it periodically, inject it into their minds. Because the only way you have an interpretation of what the Spirit is saying is in your mind. So, but the will, the perfect will of God, the perfect knowledge of God and all of that is in your spirit, your recreated human spirit. But you get an occasional infusion in your mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're praying in the spirit. That's why very often, as you pray in the spirit, you find out that you are pulling what is in there. And you are pulling it and certain thoughts begin to run. Are you still with me? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. He said, for it is God who works in you. Both to what? Will and to do of his good pleasure. So it takes you over. So we have a problem with what I'm saying because it's so simple. We say, how many times have you found people say, how can I tell the difference? Whether it's my mind or it's the Holy Ghost. I say, get in the Word. Get in the Spirit. Pray a lot in the Spirit and stay in God's Word. You will know. You will use the Word to separate it. But very often, if you're just trying to separate most times, what does the voice of the Spirit sound like? Is it falsetto? Is it, you won't find it that way. Are you hearing me? Proverbs 16 verse 3. He said, commit, roll your works unto the Lord and he will bring them to pass. The Amplifier says, commit your works to the Lord and he will make your thoughts agreeable with his thoughts. Are you with me? You make them agreeable. So you just find out that you start thinking, oh my God. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We need to start living in the reality of scriptures. Are you with me, anybody? Where you know that you can solve problems because you are in the mind. You have the mind of Christ and you live in the Spirit. And while you stand there, you are solving the problem. It's not just solving it from knowledge of book knowledge. It's the fact that you are tapping into the supernatural to solve the problem. Are you still there? You know, one time many years ago, I was in primary school. They gave me very difficult arithmetic. I went home. I tried to solve this homework. I did it. It didn't work. I went to bed thinking about it, and I solved it in my dream. Are you there? I solved the thing and woke up to write what I saw. Human spirit is strong, powerful. When it gets saved and recreated, oh my God, it comes into union with God. Are you still with me? So how do I make this work for me? Because now, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, where I started from, and I'm trying to now wrap it up. Did you get something tonight?
Yes, sir.
If you go back to Romans chapter 8, you now see that it says, for those who live. So Galatians 5 tells us there's a difference. Okay? It says, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. What does that walk say in the Amplified? Galatians chapter 5. If you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:25. I just want to go there and come back to this one very quickly. Galatians 5:25 says, if you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. So what does walk mean? He said, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So how do I do that? How do I ensure that my conduct, everything I do, is controlled by the Holy Ghost? That's what he then said to us in Romans 8 and verse 5. He said, for those who live according to the flesh are those who set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those who live according to the influence of the Spirit are those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So how I get to not just live in the Spirit, which I am living in the Spirit, but walking in the Spirit, is that I have to fix my mind on the things of the Spirit. I have to start thinking this way. I'm a spirit being. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a child of God. I am joined to the Holy Ghost as one spirit. Are you hear what I'm saying? I have to have that mindset, and I have to keep those kinds of thoughts on my mind. I have to infuse and stay and ensure that I'm constantly meditating on God's word. I have to ensure that I'm constantly thinking about the things that God said. He said, then I will not just be living in the Spirit. I will now be walking in the Spirit. Controlled. Excuse me. Controlled by the Holy Ghost. My conduct, everything I do, will now be controlled by the Holy Ghost. So the real work of walking in the Spirit that I need to do is controlling my mind. To ensure that I keep my mind on the things of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The supernatural is natural for the believer. Let's stand on our feet. It's the natural way of life of the believer to walk in the supernatural. Just take a moment and just talk to God tonight. Talk to God tonight. Dr. T.L. Osborne said, when you hear truth from God's word, do something about it. Pray about it. Make a decision about it. Make a commitment about it. But don't just stand there and do nothing. He said, but when you hear truth from God's word, do something. Make a decision. What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do differently? Jesus said, it's not the hearer that is blessed, but it's the doer. The one that does something about it. That's the person that is blessed. Many people hear, but it's the person that does something with what he has heard. That's where the difference shows up. Lege bakata la bosa brahashta brahane. Le broste fraki la bahane shtapahata. If you are here tonight, you have not given your life to Christ. You need to do that. You haven't given your life to Christ. You need to do that. That means what? Simply, there is a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. That means that if you were to fall down dead now, tomorrow morning, next week, you are not sure what will happen to you. I was with somebody of another faith, Islamic faith, recently. And the man was telling me, he said, you know, the way we see death,
is that everybody has to die. He said, we all want to go to heaven. He said, but there's no way to go there without dying. He said, so that's the way we view death, and we accept death. He said, but the only problem we have is that we are not sure where we are going when we die. And I thought to myself, I'm sure. That is the big difference. I'm sure. Are you hearing me? I'm sure. So are you sure tonight? That's what I'm asking you. Are you sure? Are you sure what will happen to you? If you are there and you are not sure, that if you were to drop down dead, you will be glad because you are sure you will show up in heaven before the Father, then you need to pray tonight. You need to put your right hand on your chest and we'll pray together. And that means you are not sure, means that you've never given your life to Christ before, maybe, or you have done it before, but things have happened. Many waters have passed under the bridge. You have stopped living the way you know to. And therefore, those things have corrupted your heart and mind such that you are no longer confident of what will happen to you if you were to die. Then don't take this for granted. Seize the moment. This is the moment. This is the time. Put your right hand on your chest where you are. If you are going to give your life to Him, first time or do it, or you are doing it again, do it with all confidence. You know why? Because the Bible says we shall all appear before His judgment seat. Every one of us. And it doesn't matter who was beside you in this service, that you were shy to do it because of that person. You need to ignore them because they will not be there to protect you on the judgment day. Thank you for those hands. If you are doing that, do it very quickly. And do it very boldly. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. He said, but if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. What does it cost you? What will it cost you to gain the whole world? Gain the admiration of people. Gain their love. Their respect. But lose your soul. So ignore them and do it now. If you are online, do the same. If you need to do it, do the same. Do it confidently, do it boldly. It doesn't even matter where you are. You are sitting in a restaurant, do it. Thank you for those who have done that boldly. We're going to pray now. We're going to pray now. And just say these simple words. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. Say it with all of your heart. Say, I come before you today. I thank you because you died for my sins. And because you died and rose again, the pathway to God has been made clear for me. I have been restored to God because I believe that you died for me and you rose for me. Therefore, I confess it with all boldness tonight that you are my Savior. And you are my Lord from today. I will do my utmost best to live for you. Thank you for saving me. Because your word declares that every single person that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we thank you. Thank you for everyone who spread that. Thank you for saving them. Thank you for drawing them. Thank you for keeping them even from today. Thank you because you will keep them, you preserve them whole, spirit, soul, and body. And you present them whole on that day. Thank you because you help them to walk in the light all the days of their lives. They will grow in their walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Three things you must do if you pray that prayer. One, pray every day. In fact, let me say four things. Because there is one B. One B is get filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can pray with other tongues. But pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. One B, get filled with the Holy Ghost so you can pray in other tongues. Number two, read your Bible every day. You don't know where to start from? Start from the book of John. And read it all the way down to Revelations. Start that way first, and then you can come back and read from the very beginning of the Bible. Number three, find a Bible-believing church to attend. If you are close to this place, the doors here are open to you. You will be established. You will grow in your walk with God if you are committed and you are here every time the church doors open. You will grow. I can assure you that. I know the pastor. Hallelujah. So go to church. Three things. Hallelujah. That you must. I didn't say you should. I said you must do if you must grow in your walk with God. Can I say a quick prayer tonight? If for anybody who needs anything from God, any miracle, any touch, whatever it might be, remember I said even creative miracles are in the package. Father, we thank you tonight. If you can touch wherever, touch it. Maybe you it's a healing, you need touch it. If it's some other miracle, financial, direction, whatever it is, God will answer our prayers as we call upon him tonight. Father, we give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your glory in this place. Thank you for confirming your word with miracles, signs, and wonders, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for touching people all over this place and granting to them the desires of their heart. Thank you for doing that which only you can do. Thank you for miracles, healings. Thank you for direction. Thank you for provision. Thank you for protection. You say, call upon me, I'll answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not even know. Ooh. Thank you for doing that which only you can. Told me many years ago, he said, give me a few moments. When you speak, give me a few moments. Let me touch the people. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your glory. 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 I see confusion disappearing. Almost like somebody who you can't seem to be able to think straight. Almost like a dark cloud in your mind. But I see that lifted. Yeah, it's clarity. It's clarity. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we give you praise. Let's just thank him tonight. Let's give him thanks tonight. Let's give him thanks tonight. Amazing things he has done. Amazing things he has done. We are so grateful. Oh, Lebodobo. Yes, we love your name. We love your name, Jesus. We love your